Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We've got a Sabres game tonight. They take on the Minnesota Wild. They'll also play on Friday against Vancouver. Both games at home. And finally, Josh, I feel like I'm Rose from Titanic. It's been 84 years since the Bills have done anything at all. I knew they were on the bye week. This is not news to me, but man, it took forever for them to get back to work.
You knew it was coming, but you never knew that it was going to take this long, and it's just felt so painful.
It's not
like we've had Sabres to supplement. Like, sure, we did kind of, but they were all Sabres after dark games, and then they've been off since Saturday. So it's like,
it's been this weird dead period. Like, it's been this weird dead period.
UB won yesterday. Yeah. That's great.
Thank goodness for UB football. Yeah. It was on ESPN+, so no thanks for that.
Oh.
But at least they won. It looked really good. Was able to see some of the highlights. But it's been like this weird dead period. We'll hear back from Sal Capaccio, 10:30, coming up here in just about a half hour.
Got to find out how the San Jose Sharks arena is. Sal went to the Sabres Sharks.
Yeah.
That's going to be interesting to find out about.
I was more wondering about like the Bay Area weather.
Yeah. Well,
he went like one time where it was bad.
Yeah, like the only time it was raining.
It's tough. We'll hear from Sal at 10:30. And then, of course, potential weather game coming up Sunday night against the 49ers. We'll hear from Patrick Hammer, WGRZ's chief meteorologist. He's coming up at 11:30. But for today, we're going to have a little bit of fun with both the teams, in a sense, being back. Bills, of course, don't play till Sunday, but they're going to be on the practice field today, hopefully to get a lot of injury updates today.
Essentially, they're back.
And really, they're Bill Sabres talk all day, 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on with us. We'll also be reading your tweets as well. How important are these next two games for the Sabres? We'll go over some of those road stats, by the way, for Minnesota and Vancouver. They're 1-2 in the league, Josh, in terms of their win-loss total on the road. They are unbelievable. And then with the Bills being back to work today, what are your expectations for Bills 49ers? Again, 803-0550, the number to call. And just one fun tweet here from a Buffalo Williams on the Sabres. I would like them to win all the games. What are my expectations, though? Well, I would like them to win them. Finally, someone's being honest. Someone's being honest, finally. Win all 82. 82-0.
No, see, this is also a great tweet from Bills by a Billion. He tweets out the score, 38-10, and then your response, that's not by a billion, sir.
I'm keeping him in check, man.
Very good. Yeah,
keep him in check.
You got to keep the people on their toes.
He did give an honest reason, though, for why he's not doing it. It's a good one. Listen, I don't want to give San Francisco or Cincinnati any more bulletin board material, and that's fair.
Cincinnati would see that tweet and get mad and be like, yeah, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I see, the more I've thought about the 49ers, I just, what are they playing for in this game? Right?
Their season.
Like, they're playing for their season. Mm-hmm. And that's dangerous. You are, they're in a corner. You're going after a hungry dog in a corner, and they're probably going to bite. And that's not great because they have that ability to go out there and be dominant. But can
they? Haven't really been that this year.
Well, but most because of injuries. They've been so injured that it's like you can't worry about that because there's no one out there to go after you, right? Like, there's no, I don't want to say there's no fear, but like, there's not much to be scared of.
I'll be honest. I like the 38-10 score line.
Right.
If it weren't for the weather aspect.
Yeah, well.
And that's why we're going to have Patrick Hammer on. But it's like, that's the one thing that I'm looking at. I don't.
It's sounding like it's just going to be cold and windy.
Yeah.
Which is the good thing. And it sounds like most of the snow is going to be south of the stadium, which also a good thing. But you never know. I mean, that weather, the winter storm last year that ended up having the game get moved, the playoff game, that was because the snowband just sat over top of West Seneca and Orchard Park for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
I drove through it. It was not fun.
It was not a good time. I will say, though, in terms of the weather aspect, a lot of it comes down to the quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually think you'll get anything out of the passing attack, if all of a sudden it'll become one-dimensional. Unlike years prior, the last 2 years for the Bills, they have a rushing attack you can somewhat trust.
Yeah.
With James Cook, Ray Davis, and even Taron Johnson.
Ty Johnson.
I was going to say Tyquan Thornton. I was like, what is happening?
I think it is actually his full name, I think, is Tyquan, but I'm not sure.
But Ty Johnson. So you have, I don't want to call it a three-headed monster because it's not. It's mainly James Cook and Ray Davis that are getting the work done there, but you can trust it in terms of actually getting the job done. Cook has 10 touchdowns. He's up there with like only 7 Bills running backs or something like that to ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting goal line carries as well. So that's been a big boost for him and his career. I know people with fantasy also have been loving that because that was a big issue with him is, well, he'll put up total yards. He'll have like 2 touchdowns. That has changed this year.
Do you think this is a type of a game where the screen game that the Bills have somehow discovered is going to get more utilized, or do you think that might go away a little bit because of the weather?
No, I feel like that's a short passing game, absolutely.
I feel like that's a type of pass that will kind of be emphasized. But I also don't know if that's viable, because think about it. Like, the Bills haven't ever had a successful screen game until this season.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to tempt fate and try to do that in a snow game or a potential winter weather game? Right? Because that'd probably be the best way you can activate your passing game, because you can't just run it with James Cook and Ray Davis the whole time. But
this also was not going to be the wind game of a few years ago with New England, where what did Mac Jones throw? Three passes.
And completed one of them.
So good.
For like two yards.
I hated that game for every second of it.
Super
not fun. Only did they, I mean, even if they would have won, I would have looked at that game with hate in my eyes.
Yeah, just one of those games where you just, you need mouthwash to get over that one, because it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Speaking of the passing game, I don't know if Joe and Jeremy got to this. We do know who the legend of the game is going to be this weekend.
Oh.
Do you want to take a guess? It's a quarterback.
Ooh. I don't know.
Joe Ferguson.
No. Doug Flutie.
Oh, okay. That's fun. The one, my first Bills game, I borrowed a friend's jersey, and it was a Flutie jersey, and he was the legend of the game. Didn't plan it.
I did not plan it.
Just was there, and I was like, hey, that's him. There he is.
That's the guy.
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's fun. I like that.
Boston College. Not a Boston College fan here. No, not at all, actually, in any of their sports.
They're just so...
I don't like Boston sports teams.
Yeah, but they're just there. Like, out of all the Boston sports teams, they're like kind of the outlier of just like, what are you doing?
They've had weird moments. Doug Flutie winning a Heisman is kind of also a weird moment.
Yeah, that's... probably their only Heisman in school history?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
I would assume, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I felt safe in assuming that, but
I felt safe.
I just wanted to make sure. But no, I look at like what the Bills could do offensively this game and how they can keep going and try to build off of what they did against Kansas City, and it's just going to be such a different game because of the weather alone or the potential of the weather that I don't really know what to expect, because I mean, that run game could be great, and San Francisco is really hurt. Like, their defense is not at all what it used to be, and it's not really that big in the secondary specifically. So this would be a great game where if the weather kind of holds off, you could see the Bills go on a super big air attack. But
on the defense, too, like you brought up, we're talking a lot about Brock Purdy potentially not playing and kind of like seeing all the cloak and dagger stuff that the 49ers do where they're like, well, you know, he threw a little bit today and it went kind of well. And then like 3 days later, it'll be like, actually, he broke his collarbone. Craziest thing happened. We've known for 3 weeks, but it's stunning. But it's mainly Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
The update there, I mean, even after the game 2 weeks ago, he didn't sound very positive, did not play this past game when they got blown out by Green Bay. I don't want to say it's likely he's not playing. I haven't heard anything, though, on if he's even practicing at all. If there's any hope that he's playing, if he's not in there, that does make it even better. This team already does not give up sacks for Josh Allen. I believe they're top five in least allowed.
I don't think they gave up a sack once against Kansas City, and they're pretty decent.
Chris Jones.
I mean, Chris Jones got completely shut down. But I just look at the 49ers defense, and the only two guys I can really point out, and I'm not even sure if I should be scared of them anymore, is Leonard Floyd and Fred Warner.
Fred Warner, yes.
I mean, Fred Warner, sure, yeah. But Leonard Floyd, you know, he was great here last year with the Bills, but
he tapered off, though, by the end of the year.
Yeah, and he has 6.5 sacks this year. That's not...
Does he really good for him?
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. He has one forced fumble, too.
Nice.
But still, it's just, you know, how much are those guys going to be limited by the fact that there's no one else around them, right? Because that's the thing with, like, the best defenses in the NFL, is you can look at the players around the defense, and it's just a matchup nightmare of, like, well, how are we going to cover five different guys?
Mm-hmm.
With the 49ers, it's how are we going to cover two guys? Oh, okay, cool. Great. Next question.
Well, yeah, like, that's a big thing, too. Debo Samuel, I don't think, has had a good year at all. Everything I've seen on 49ers social media is that they are deeply frustrated with him.
I meant the Bills' offense containing.
Oh, their weapons,
yeah,
yes.
I wasn't quite on 49ers' offense yet. My bad. I worded that poorly. But yeah, I just, like, if Nick Bosa's not in, you just have to worry about Leonard Floyd and Fred Warner. And I'm sure, maybe I'm like discounting, you know, other parts of their line, but those are the two names that stand out to me.
I mean, Green Bay kind of ran up and down on them.
Yeah.
No real worries there. 38-10.
I mean, to be fair, Josh Jacobs is probably you could consider him a much better running back than James Cook, but at the same time, Cook has had a great season so far.
Mm-hmm. He's had a very, very good season. Again, 10 touchdowns already.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. I'm not worried about this game. A few months ago, I mentioned it earlier this week, I would be very nervous about this game. Now, not much really at all.
Does this feel like kind of... Like, how worried were you when the Bills played the Colts? Well, maybe that's not... How about the Dolphins? How worried were you at the second Dolphins game?
I'm trying to remember. I feel like I wasn't all that worried at all.
Yeah.
No, because I wasn't. Because I was mentioning how this rivalry had kind of lost a little bit of its luster.
Oh, right. I forget.
Yeah.
I remember now.
I wasn't really nervous at all, actually.
Because I'm trying to think of like a team that you could compare them to where it's like, yeah, they could be good, but it's kind of injuries and they're just having an off year. Because you can't say that about the Colts. Like, the Colts are in a genuinely bad situation. And that's why, you know, when you looked at that game, it was, well, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't have a good day, then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, it's like, yeah, there's still like a lot of guys out there that can have a game. But, I mean, the biggest question mark, obviously, is Brock Purdy, if he's going to play. Because if he doesn't play, Debo Samuel, Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, all of them, George Kittle, they're all non-factors to me. I mean, sure, Brandon Allen can go out there, but what's he realistically going to do?
Well, he's not good.
Exactly. And now if Josh Dobbs is out there, hey, mate.
Well, now we've got something.
The Pastronaut's about to take off. But, I feel bad discounting the 49ers because of how good they've been over the past few years, but it's just hard to look at this team and be scared.
And it's hard to now give them the same credit. Say the Chiefs are getting this year.
Right.
The Chiefs don't look like the team that has won, you know, the crap ton of games they have, two straight Super Bowls. Well, they kind of do to last year, but in the sense of we're still all giving them credit because they keep winning games. The 49ers are not at that point now. Now they're losing games. And Steve tweets in, brings up a really good point. The 49ers are a desperate team, but the deck is stacked against them. They play in Green Bay, flew back to San Francisco, will go through the holiday, then fly to Buffalo, and then play in the winter elements. Pending McDermott's press conference today, they may also be playing a 90% healthy Bills team.
Yeah, I mean,
Steve brings up a really good point there, though, of just kind of what they're dealing with, the idea of going to Green Bay, flying back, going through the holiday, then flying all the way across the country to play in Buffalo in not great weather. I mean, this sort of also does feel like an idea that if you punch them in the mouth early, if this is, say, 10-0 at the end of the first quarter, it could get out of hand quickly.
Yeah,
yes, they're a desperate team. They're not healthy, though. They're not playing particularly well. And again, it's at a point, I believe the line is 7 now in favor of the Bills. Am I going to touch that? No, because it's a big line, and I always get scared about that. I will only do it for the Lions at this rate. But that feels about right. Maybe if Purdy plays, it goes to 5.5. But this team has kind of shown you like what they've been all year, which is not all that great.
Right now in FanDuel, it's still 6.5.
6.5. And so...
over under at 44.5.
That feels about right.
Well,
low,
okay.
Winter game. I get it.
Yeah, I guess so.
But I'm not really that worried about the 49ers. It also doesn't help, or well, it helps actually for me. McDermott is 6-0 in his coaching career off the bye.
And they're also
and this team
great.
Has lost since 2020 two games in December.
Yeah. Technically, it's not. Wait, is it technically December? No.
That will be December 1st.
It will?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
December 1st.
Wow. That crept up on me. I thought I thought Monday was. Okay.
Gotta buy Christmas gifts. It's coming up.
Oh, man. What happened to 2024?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But so there's a lot here for me to just kind of, I don't want to say I'm not excited. It's Sunday Night Football, potentially like a really cool aesthetic with the winner. I mean, I loved watching Cleveland and Pittsburgh. But overall, I'm sitting here going, San Francisco has to show me that this is even going to be a game. Not the Bills. The Bills I see every year show up after the bye week and go on these incredible runs, even when they're not healthy. And to Steve's point, as he brought up in the tweet, depending on McDermott's press conference today, you could be dealing with the healthiest you've been all year, arguably. So San Francisco, and maybe this is an arrogance as someone covering the Bills, you got to show me you're going to show up.
Right.
Rather than me just assuming you will, and I've got to hope the Bills can get through it.
And look, there's guys that always show up on this team, right? Like George Kittle, regardless of what he's doing, he is always a legit player. Right?
And he's like, having a great season.
When he's fully healthy, he is a great blocker, and he's a great pass-catching tight end. Like, he's still, to me, one of the best, if not the best, tight end in the NFL, regardless of who he's playing with and who he's catching passes with.
Mm.
But it still goes back to if Brandon Allen is your starter on Sunday night.
Oh, this feels like a wash.
I just don't.
I don't want to say that and do the whole jinx thing. I get it.
Yeah.
But like if he's playing, even if Brock Purdy doesn't really feel great for the 49ers, if it's Brandon Allen, it feels even less so.
Right. But I don't want to jinx things, but there have been times where the Bills have been in the situation where they're playing a backup quarterback or they're playing a lesser quarterback, and it's just kind of this assumption that, Matt Milano is going to have a day, or Terrell Bernard is going to have a day, or the secondary is going to go crazy. But there's been times where that's been the case and the Bills haven't really stepped up to things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think back to when Skylar Thompson was playing, and it was like, that was the playoff game, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, hey, why is Skylar Thompson passing for like 200 yards on the Bills?
This brings me back, though, real quick. This does bring me back to the idea of why I do not want to play the Dolphins a third time. Skylar Thompson was out there keeping up with you. I don't want to play a division opponent a third time in the wild card round. I rest my case.
Okay. You still have me, I think. But I got to see how, if the Dolphins get blown out by Green Bay on Thursday, tomorrow, geez. I'm losing it today. Weeks, days, months, they're all flying by past me.
I mean, you just found out December starts on Sunday.
Listen, I knew December started I thought December started next Monday, to be fair. It wasn't like I thought it started in like a week and a half. I thought it started next Monday. But regardless, I do want to see if like the Dolphins have a decent game against Green Bay, which I don't think they will because it's in the cold. It's Green Bay in the late November in the winter. Like, I don't think the Dolphins will have a good game, but if they do, then that will further cement my joining you on the side of playing the Broncos in the first round.
What do you think the line is right now for that game?
Judging by that question, I feel like it's like 10.5.
Green Bay only favored by 3.5.
What? Oh, so it went the other way.
That is like the game I am excited for on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
The game I'm excited for.
Well, to be fair, that's the game. That's the game. You're right. Because I was thinking, like the Lions are playing, but the Lions are playing the Bears. Never mind.
Oh, well, no, wait. Caleb Williams starting to look better since they fired Shane Waldron.
Yeah, but it's the Lions.
Yeah, they're gonna
and when's the last time we could say that? Like, man. But no, you're right. I didn't know 3.5. Wow. That's...
I'm not touching it.
No.
Not a shot am I touching it.
No, because that's giving a lot of credit to Miami.
See, I think it's... But then a lot of people are going to be like, oh, Green Bay. I mean, like you said, it's the cold. It's in Green Bay. Yeah. It's the Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving night. I mean, it's going to be freezing in Wisconsin, right? And then all of a sudden, this is the game that the Dolphins all of a sudden decide, nah, guys, we figured it out. We can play in the cold.
The Dolphins have secretly been training in Antarctica for the past week and a half.
We figured it out, guys. I don't really want to.
So right now, what time is that game kickoff? 8:20? The kickoff for Green Bay, the temperature, according to my phone, is going to be 25.
Oh, boy.
Currently in Green Bay, right now, it is 25 at 10:20 on Wednesday. It feels like 23. I can't look at the feels like I had like that far, so I have no idea what it's going to feel like tomorrow night. But towards the end of the game, it'll drop down to almost 20. So it's not counting in the wind chill. It's not counting in potential snow. Mm-hmm. There is no snow in the forecast. It's just cloudy. But take that what you will.
Take that what you will. Jimmy tweets in as we're talking here. Bills, 49ers. Sal Capaccio going to be joining the show here in just under 10 minutes as the Bills finally get back to work. They deserve the bye. They needed the bye. Doesn't mean I have to be happy about it. But Jimmy tweets in, how have you guys not mentioned McCaffrey? He alone can kill the Bills. He's my only quote-unquote worry this week. And to that point, and I responded to Jimmy as well, he has been good, and he doesn't look healthy.
He looks like a guy that's having, what is it, tendonitis or something like that? Or
yeah, it's tendonitis in both of his ankles Achilles. And it's not, he doesn't look right. Up to this point, against Green Bay, he had 11 rushes for 31 yards, a good for 2.8. Average. Seattle, much better, 19 for 79 at 4.2 average, but then against Tampa Bay, his first game back, 13 for 39, a 3.0 average. And then in receiving, he's been fine. Tampa Bay was much better. He did have that one long 30-yard pass, but outside of that, he doesn't really look all that dangerous. This is not Derrick Henry. This is not Saquon Barkley. This is not even Jonathan Taylor when you played him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy that is not healthy, like most of their team, and he's been a big reason why they haven't been good this year is that he hasn't been there. And now that he is there, it's still not great.
I really wonder. He's
also a big thing on that, too. If they don't have Trent Williams again for this game, not a shot. He is a big – him and George Kittle maybe are the most important guys to their – or Kyle Juszczyk as well. So there's three guys, Trent Williams, George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk. If any one of them are out of that triangle, their run game is a real tough time getting going.
Thinking back to, like, our – what if conversation from like a month or two ago, Christian McCaffrey is going to be probably the biggest what if in sports. If like the whole what if he didn't get injured conversation, I think Christian McCaffrey might be up there for one of the biggest once he retires. Because we obviously don't know. I mean, he could still get healthy, figure things out, and go back to the way he was. But this span over the past few years of him getting hurt, getting back, like I think that's really
That was more in the beginning of his career. He went through like I think three or four seasons without missing a game or dealing with injuries.
Well, they're right, yeah. But I'm saying like
he had his big pop moment. I mean, we're all talking about Saquon Barkley potentially being an MVP. Chris McCaffrey was that same guy last year with how dominant he was for the 49ers.
But I mean, look at the past. Look at his career. Basically, his second year is his first 1,000-yard season. Then he goes up to 1,300 yards with the Panthers, mind you, and then injury in 2020. Injury in 21, plays in 2022 for two teams, Carolina and San Francisco, plays all of last year, has his best rushing season, and then gets hurt or has like the tendonitis issue, which isn't really like an injury, but it's more so just a thing that popped up. Obviously he's had an insane career still, but it's just, I feel like you take that 2020, 2021 seasons. And obviously, like, there's COVID and stuff in there, too, so that probably affected things. But that was the year after his 1,300-yard season. I think we would have seen him surpass 1,400 yards or even 1,500 yards at this point had he played all those years. Because it's just more and more...
Oh, I mean, yeah.
He's reps and more chances, but it's just like...
And that's
like,
the thing, too. He touches the ball a lot, so you do have to wonder about his longevity of his career. I don't necessarily look at him with injuries of, like, what could have been. We all know how good he is. Maybe his overall career stats... Yeah. Sure. But we'll all look at him and go, yeah, I mean, when he's on the field, though, he was one of the best top three running backs in his time.
That conversation for him more so applies to the stats rather than how he looks. Because on the field, he still looks like Christian McCaffrey. He still looks incredible and dangerous, but it's just not showing up on paper.
Yep.
I think that's kind of where I go to, because a lot of those what-if conversations, you tend to look at what they're doing on the field or on the court or whatever, and, oh, man, that guy looks hurt. He looks different since that injury, whatever. This looks like, you know, hey, if he wouldn't have been hurt, his numbers would be better, but he's still great.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. What do you want to see from the Bills against the 49ers this Sunday? Do you have even any fears going into this Sunday night's matchup? I'm sitting here. I'm feeling good. I just kind of want to see this team get a win. I think they will. We do have, though, some breaking news before we hit our first timeout. Daniel Jones has his team. He is signing with the Minnesota Vikings. This coming from Jordan Schultz over on NFL on Fox. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, Sal Capaccio will join the show after his much-deserved vacation as the Bills get back to work later today. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Philosophically, I want everyone to come to Orchard Park. I want people to have to play in that environment. I think it's, I've been there fortunate enough to a couple times to play and certainly to call a couple games. I think it's a difference maker. I think that place, the weather, the fans, the juice, the environment, you know, everyone raves about the 12th man in Seattle. I think it has that type of feel and vibe. So I think that there's big goals, obviously, and I would want the AFC to have to go through Orchard Park if I were the Bills.
There is Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, also UConn's finest. He's like the only UConn football player I can think of, talking about hoping and wanting to see the AFC having to go through Orchard Park and Buffalo. Would be a lot of fun. We'll get a little bit of taste of winter in Buffalo potentially this weekend as a bit of a winter storm's coming in for Bills 49ers. But for more on the Bills, finally, I have been bereft of any Bills news on the West Her Hotline after his much-deserved vacation. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are we doing this morning?
Pretty good, guys. Ready to rock and roll and the first day of practice here, and it's Thanksgiving week, so happy Thanksgiving to you, your family, all the listeners out there, obviously. But we'll obviously hear from Sean McDermott in about an hour and a half from now. It is a normal Wednesday for the Bills today.
To you as well, Sal. Good vacation, though. How was the weather in the Bay Area?
Terrible. It was absolutely terrible. We get there on Thursday, and we had heard the rumblings of what's called a bomb cyclone. Unfortunately, it was crazy weather.
What?
terminology hitting the West Coast, and sure enough, we got there, and literally all day Thursday night, all day Friday, all night Friday night, it was terrible, like rain, just monsoon. It was record-breaking, like flooding. The airport, like trying to get out, they were redirecting traffic because of the flooding on the highways. It was terrible. We had tickets to Alcatraz on Thursday night. My brother was coming up from Oregon, and he couldn't get in on his flight because it was delayed. But luckily, the way it works, basically, you go and you check in, and there's like a ferry that takes you there. And we went on Friday and said, hey, we can't make it tonight. And they said, that's fine, just bring your tickets tomorrow. We did the day tour instead, which was great on Saturday. By the time that happened, it was still a little rainy, but the rain had subsided. It wasn't the warmest. It was probably about 55 degrees. And then by the time we got to Sunday, it was much drier. Went to down to Napa. Obviously went to the Sabres game on Saturday down in San Jose, and pretty awesome. Got the win there. That was really cool.
What's that arena like there, Sal? Because I have it on my bucket list to get to every NHL arena, and San Jose is probably one of the farthest I'll have to go. So what was it like, the atmosphere?
The arena is, kind of, I would say, similar to KeyBank Center, especially the scoreboard is exactly the same. I wonder if the same company built it. I haven't researched or anything, but literally, like, it's got the exact same shape with that little board underneath that you could see if you're on either side, right? They do the same thing there. So the scoreboard is exactly the same. The arena looks very similar. You know, a lot of these arenas do. The corridors, the way they were set up, the biggest difference, I would tell you, is at KeyBank Center, they have this huge atrium, obviously, when you walk in, right? You can go left, you can go right, the escalators. When you walk into the SAP Center, it isn't like that. It's literally like this just massive staircase right in front of you that you walk up. Everybody walks up, and then you're right into the corridor area up there. And then as far as the atmosphere, look, it was Joe Thornton's retirement ceremony night. They did that before the game, quite a bit before the game, a couple hours. So they had a good crowd. I don't know if they normally draw that kind of crowd. I talked to a couple of people who said, yeah, they've pretty good support. Actually, and it was the people around us, a lot of Sharks fans around us, and they were really into it. So it was a good atmosphere. When the other team gets a penalty, so you know how, like, you go to, like, if you go to a Bandits game, it's BOX, 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 right? There's something goes on there. When the other team gets a penalty, they did a shark eating sign, kind of like the gator chomp. Think about it like that. And that's what they would do to the guy when the other team got a penalty.
Always a big fan of the gator chomp. That's one of the better simple celebrations in college football. Big fan of that. Sal, though, as mentioned, Sean McDermott going to be speaking here in about an hour. It's been a long time since we've gotten any kind of update to the Bills, of course, with the bye week. But then even to start this week, they've been off. You know, we've been reading some tweets here as well today leading up to the 49ers game. And one of our listeners, Steve, brought up, you know, pending McDermott's press conference, 49ers could be playing like 90% healthy Bills team. It's been a thought, but I think maybe some of us, including myself, have maybe jumped the gun in terms of guys like Matt Milano maybe being back. We don't really know about Keon Coleman. What are you expecting to hear from McDermott today?
Yeah, we'll find out. I think the big question is, you know, Matt Milano and whether or not he'll play this week, but I don't think we'll get clarity on that necessarily. I mean, maybe Sean will tell us that they plan on activating him, but they have until Saturday at 4 p.m. operationally, so everybody understands. Matt is still on injured reserve, but they could activate him by Saturday at 4 p.m. if they're going to play him on Sunday. If they don't, that's okay. They still have till next Wednesday before his 21-day window expires. I think that we're trending that way. It feels like to me that we've been gearing up and building up towards Matt Milano playing on Sunday. Now, maybe the weather factors into that, and they say they don't want to risk it, you know, being at home, being in a wet environment, maybe snowy, a wet field, whatever. I mean, anything like that could obviously come into play. We'll see. But I think we're trending that way. And then the other guys, Dalton Kincaid, I don't know how close he was because he never practiced a couple weeks ago, but doesn't feel like it's something that was super serious. I think Spencer Brown was very close, so I think we're probably going to hear him getting back. And then Keon's interesting. Even if Keon practices this week, I wonder if he's in line to play because, you know, he's missed a few weeks. And typically the Bills, a lot of times, remember what they did with Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson when they both missed 3-4 weeks. They brought him back to practice. They did not play in the game that week. Mm-hmm. They gave him 2 weeks of practice before they actually played. And I just wonder, you know, if that's what we see something with Keon, especially with Amari Cooper playing and healthy, and we know that. Obviously giving his wrist a couple extra weeks helps. And then the other one to keep an eye on, guys, here is defensive tackle Dwayne Carter. He's fulfilled his 4 games on injured reserve. So the Bills, if they choose, could open his 21-day window this week.
Carter, yes, I completely forgot about him. On Cooper as well, though, you brought him up. They kind of did the same thing with him where he was limited for, I think, 2 weeks. I mean, he had the cast on his hand, but he was still practicing, just wasn't playing. And you know, with, I guess, a somewhat similar injury. We don't really know the specifics of their wrist injuries. They could do the same with Coleman. On Carter, though, Sal, glad you brought him up. He was somebody, when he got hurt, though, he was starting to ascend. Like, he was starting to see become a player. I was seeing a lot on social media where a lot of Bills fans were maybe didn't love the Kansas City Bills trade. All of a sudden, we're coming around to it because they're like, now we got Dwayne Carter, and he was playing really, really well. I think he has been somebody the Bills have missed in that interior.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, they've made a couple additions, right, since then. They have Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson, who they signed, and, you know, both have had their moments and played well as well. They still have depth in the practice squad, Ilyanku and Branson Dean, who they like. So, and this is a spot where I think they feel really good about the top to bottom of their roster altogether. Decisions have to be made at some point, though. You also have Dewan Smoot, who's a defensive end, but at some point you hope he comes back. Maybe that's probably at least a few weeks down the road, I think. But I think they feel really good about where their defensive line is right now. And, you know, obviously they've given up some runs, and we know that they're not highly ranked and, you know, run stopping defense. It's not necessarily how they're built or what their philosophy is. It's maybe keep everything in front of you in the pass game and, you know, get some pressure on the quarterback as well up front. But I think that as we go forward here, there's got to be some decisions that have to be made and how they want to formulate the roster. And I think though, that Dwayne Carter becomes an important piece for them, and they would like to have him back and be a big part of what they do, you know, as at the end of the season and playoff push here.
Looking at a guy like Matt Milano-Sal, he hasn't played a football game, an NFL game, in something like, what, like 400 days or something like that? Like, how is he going to be coming back here? Is it going to be like a pitch count sort of thing, or you think it's going to be full go right away? Kind of depends on today, right? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know if it depends on today. I think it depends on how the week goes, but I think it's probably already kind of I think, Josh, the way I'd say it is they probably have a plan already in place. You know what I mean? Like, they're probably already thinking this is what we're going to do, and that plan was probably formulated months ago based on making sure that everything stays on track for him. So I think this week is, does it stay on track is the question. But what you ask is what we're all wondering. I mean, I wonder too, what does it look like when he is ready to go? Is that this week? If it is, does he start? Does he play a lot? Does he play 10 snaps, 25 snaps, a full 100% of snaps? I mean, I think there's a lot of questions that have to be answered here, but they're all good questions and good problems to have, so to speak, because Dorian Williams has played well. Now, I've always maintained that when Matt Milano's healthy, he's the starting Will linebacker. Dorian Williams has played well, but he's the backup. That's what he is. He's playing in place of somebody right now. There's no different to me than, you know, when Terrell Bernard went out and Baylen Spector had to play. When Terrell Bernard comes back, he's the starter. The difference here is that Matt Milano hasn't played, obviously, all season. He hasn't played since really most of last season. So you have a guy who's played well, who's had the time. He's in the second year in the system, and you don't. You don't necessarily want to say, okay, you're just never going to play again. I think there's got to be there's a role for Dorian Williams. Does that include three linebacker sets? Do they want to do that? If you do that, though, you're taking Taron Johnson off the field. I just think there's a lot that has to be sifted through. But again, you'd rather have this than be depleted like they were against the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs last year in scrambling and calling people to come in who were going on vacation and retiring to play.
Speaking of depleted, though, the Bills' opponent for this weekend, the San Francisco 49ers, kind of has been the story all year. They finally got Christian McCaffrey back, Sal. He, though, hasn't looked right up to this point. I think he's averaging about 3.5 yards per carry, but that's mainly due to his second game. He had about 2.5 yards per carry against Green Bay. They're also potentially down Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Trent Williams. What have you seen from the 49ers this year, you know, up to this point? They're 5-6. I mean, you know, Sal, this isn't the 49ers team from years past.
Yeah, so they have a lot of injuries that they're dealing with that we don't know how things are going to turn out this week. And considering how they've kind of treated the injury report and things earlier this year, I don't know if we'll get any clarity on what's happening with San Francisco's roster until probably this weekend. And mainly Brock Purdy, right? You have Brock Purdy, who did not play last week. Now, he was on track. Nobody thought he wasn't going to play against the Green Bay Packers. Guys, I was literally in San Francisco driving, listening to the Odyssey station, the game out in San Francisco, the sports station out there, when the news broke that Brock Purdy wasn't going to play. And they were like, holy cow, they were very surprised. No one knew that that was going to happen. And Kyle Shanahan said, well, he had a setback. He wasn't feeling well on Thursday. He showed up on Friday. They said, we just can't play. He can't play. And now you get through the weekend. Then he said, we'll see how it goes Monday. Well, Monday comes and goes, and he did some light throwing on Monday, and they said that he did fine, did some light throwing. So we'll see. But, I mean, I don't know. Guys, let's remember, Brock Purdy had a surgically repaired shoulder,
yes,
right? I mean, and what's happening here is it feels like and it sounds like it just has not recovered the way that they thought it would. So now you're dealing with a long-term situation with San Francisco on where that is. This is a guy that's played really well, but now he's coming up. After this year, they have to make a decision if they're going to really pay him or not. They don't have to, but after your third year, you can give a contract extension. He's going to want that, just like other players have as well. Look what the money that Tua got and what he, you know, where he fell, even with his injuries. So those are decisions they have to make. As far as Saturday's Sunday's concerned, I don't know. I think it's very up in the air with Purdy. I think it's probably trending towards maybe Nick Bosa not being available. He has an oblique injury that's said to be maybe possibly multiple weeks. So we're, you know, and he already missed last week. Trent Williams, I think, might be more on the upswing for them, for him to be able to play. So yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions about what's happening here with the Niners and their injuries going forward.
Sal, sticking with the 49ers offense here, despite Purdy being there or not, what are your feelings on Christian McCaffrey at this point in his career? So far this year, he's only played three games and 149 yards in those three games. Like, what do you feel about him going forward here for the rest of his career?
Well, I still think he's an elite player when he's healthy. The question is obviously the health of him. He's only 28 years old, guys. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a guy that has his super ton of mileage career-wise on his tires. But he has played a lot of football, and he gets the ball a lot, and he has a lot of carries. And if you look back at his college career, I was looking at the other day. He had 337 carries 1 year at Stanford. That's incredible.
Yeah. Right?
He led the nation, I believe. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. It was very high up there. He didn't lead him. Then he gets into the NFL, and you know, he's been a workhorse, even going back to his Carolina days. He had close to 300 carries 1 year in Carolina. Last year, 272 carries. So he's played a lot of football. Plus, you talk about the touches he gets overall. 400 touches because of his, you know, catching ability. So I guess the way I would say it is, I still think he's an elite player when he's healthy, but I think at some point you have to wonder like how much he can really continue to go with the injuries and how healthy he will be going forward, considering how much his body has taken on so far. It also feels like, you know, listening and watching, you know, people in San Francisco to cover the team there, they've kind of said that he hasn't quite been himself upon return. Like, it usually takes you a couple of weeks. And, you know, Bills fans, of course, hope that doesn't happen this week. It does that you're like, oh, there's the Christian McCaffrey breakout game we've been waiting for. Obviously, you hope that's not the case. And, you know, obviously Brock Purdy's a lot better, and they're better when they have Purdy and a healthy Christian McCaffrey. They obviously are without Brandon Ayuk. You know, he has injuries. Their receiving core has had, you know, some injury issues this year. Debo Samuel's had some issues. There's a lot of talk about what's going on there. So I think all of it put together, Christian McCaffrey on a healthy team with a healthy roster and a healthy quarterback is one of the most dynamic players in the league. I don't think he right now, 3 weeks back from this injury, and where they are, can be asked to carry the load for the San Francisco 49ers.
All right, so our last thing for today. We do have three games, of course, tomorrow for Thanksgiving. One of them, though, could set up an AFC East clinching victory for the Bills. Dolphins and Packers. I'm kind of there on the sense of the Dolphins might be surging here, but me and Josh were talking about it. In Green Bay, it's going to be typical, you know, Wisconsin winter, you know, around 20, 25 degrees. They've won three in a row, but is this kind of where it all kind of stops and the Bills can clinch their fifth straight on Sunday night?
Yeah, it's a good game. It's a really good game to watch. And I would say right now, I would pick the Packers to win the game for the reasons you guys stated. You know, Miami just doesn't have a great history of going on the road in the cold, but they've played well in some of those games. I mean, they were even in it in the Frost game, you know, in Kansas City for a little while. It wasn't like they played great, but, you know, they were there for a little while. They came up to Buffalo, obviously. They've had a couple really close games in cold weather, including a playoff game. I know, you know, Tua didn't play in that one, you know, specifically. So I do think that, you know, they're playing much better. They're feeling really good about themselves right now. But let's remember the Green Bay Packers are also in a division race here. And I know that, you know, right now the Detroit Lions are kind of, you know, they're sitting there at 10-1, but the Packers are only two games back and they play each other in 2 weeks, by the way. Right? I mean, like, the Packers are trying to keep pace here to still try and win a division. Packers are third in their division. If you look at the NFC and where it falls, the Packers are the sixth seed right now. So this is an important game for them. I think that even though Miami's playing really well, even if Miami wins this game, and then you'd be like, ooh, here come the Dolphins, they still would have to continue this path because they're two games back of a playoff spot right now. They have to kind of be almost perfect the rest of the year. Maybe they can afford one loss. Maybe a game like this, a non-conference loss, is something. But they still have the Jets. Obviously, that's a game they should win. They do go to Houston. They do have the 49ers. We'll see where they are at the time. They go to Cleveland, another cold game. That's another night game, by the way, in Cleveland. And then they have the Jets at the Jets, another cold game at the end of the year. So the margin for error for the Dolphins is very, very slim.
All right, Sal, thanks so much for jumping on with us. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, you too. Sean McDermott at 12 noon today, and we'll keep everybody updated what's going on at One Bills Drive.
And there you heard it. Sean McDermott at 12 o'clock. Hope to get a lot of information on the Bills. But it is Wash and Fold Wednesday, so before we take our next time out, we've got some trivia today. And with the Bills taking on the San Francisco 49ers, they don't play a ton due to being AFC-NFC. And the last time the 49ers won a game against the Bills, 2012, our trivia question of the day, who was that starting quarterback? First caller at 716-221-4WGR. That's 716-221-4947. With the correct answer, wins a $100 gift card to Top Shelf Wash and Fold Laundromat. Drop off your laundry dirty and pick it up clean and packaged for you. Complete laundry services from a coin laundromat. Top Shelf Laundromat, because we all deserve the best, with three locations, Depew, Williamsville, and Tonawanda. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. We have a winner to our Wash and Fold Wednesday trivia question. Last time the Bills lost to the San Francisco 49ers, a 2012 matchup early in the season, October 7th. 49ers easily won this game, 45-3. And the question was, who was their starting quarterback? Alex Smith. Leanne from Lancaster got that right. Alex Smith this game, by the way, Josh. 18-24, 303 yards and three touchdowns. Their leading rusher on that game? Frank Gore. 14 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown. Yeah, they whooped the Bills. Ryan Fitzpatrick was the Bills' starting quarterback. 16 for 26, 126 yards, and an interception. Just an overall terrible game.
Yeah.
Not good.
Just one of those days in the drought that you forget.
You hope to forget, but well, the scars never go away. The scars never go away. They just become scars. 803-0550 is the number to call. Thoughts on Bills 49ers this weekend? We hope to get a lot of injury updates on the Bills when Sean McDermott speaks at noon. Sabres also play tonight at 7 o'clock, hosting the Minnesota Wild. Minnesota, one of the best road teams this year in the NHL. How do we feel about the Sabres' chances? Really, tonight and Friday against Vancouver, how important are these games for the Sabres' long-term success? Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.